church? And I trust that's a question that you can live with for the church and for your life. God, what are you saying? Not what other people are saying, although we can hear God through other. What are you saying? And so one of the things that I, as I look, I feel like God is redefining our shape. Okay, that's fairly obvious. You've got new team leader, and we're great to recognize Dave as elder in September. Let us know what you think. But God is changing our shape. Okay, it's like we're not a glass bottle, but we're a plastic container. And the way you change shape of plastic is pressure and heat. And I feel like God is saying, okay, he's expanding us. He's changing our shape. And he sometimes does that through pressure and heat. Okay, his loving hands are on us, but God is growing us as a church because he wants to fill us with his glory, or to describe it as Andy has, God wants to dig a deeper well. He is digging deeper, and that happens as we get dirty and muddy and into the stuff. God's expanding us, and that means he's growing you and I into new shapes. That means he's taking us out of the comfort zone. And with that, there's a whole sense of God changing us to be mobilized as an army people. So imagine Joshua, who leads God's people. They've been wandering in 40 years in the desert with Moses. Now Joshua leads them into the whole promised land. There's a new thinking. No longer are you pioneers wandering. Now we've got to take a land. So you invade a city called Jericho and on and on. And you populate a land. You need governance. And you need a whole range of structures that you never needed in the desert. I feel like God is doing that for us. He's changing. Okay, we now need governance in ways that we didn't need before because he's growing us. Okay, and I feel like it's time to march around some cities. I was thinking of they marched around the walls of Jericho. And part of their victory, part of the victory came was praise. Praise broke down the walls. You can read that in Joshua, I don't know, chapter 3 or 4 or so. And the walls came down because they marched around and shouted. Okay, I think God is calling us to be a people of praise. But the thing is, they couldn't praise that God had done it, because he hadn't, but they could praise for who he was. And we need to grow and mature so that we can praise God for who he is, not necessarily sometimes for what he does. But if we can only praise when things are good, that sticks us at a level. Okay, can we praise because God is who he is? Okay, because that's all the time. Right? And it's not, we do feel full of praise when the sun shines and God provides. But what about if you're in a church in Turkey and your leaders, okay, can you still praise? What about if you've been deported from a nation? What if you're under threat of execution for following Jesus? Can you still praise when your family's in prison? Okay, God, I want to grow. I think God is growing us like that, and that's about maturing us. Yeah, does that make sense? And I've got a picture of, imagine some big wall hangings like that, not carpets, but like tapestries. I think that's the right word, isn't it, Anne? Where Anne is. Tapestries hanging. And as I was praying, I just see different tapestries. And I just see like God wants us to dust off the tapestries. One of them is healing. And I just see people around the pool. So I think it's in John 5, where there's a healing in a pool of water that gets stirred up, and the guy never can get in, but Jesus comes and says, you don't need the water, you need me, and he heals it. I feel like God says it's time to gather around the pool of healing. I feel like God wants to release healing, and we need to clean the tapestry off. And we've dabbled in this, we've dipped in it, and I feel like God says, now's the time for the tapestry of healing. What if Open Door was known as an oasis of healing? That you met Jesus in meetings, and people prayed for you, all sorts of places, and you found healing. The Christians in Open Door will pray for the sick at work. God, would you do that? Are you up for that? I feel like God says that's one of the tapestries. And the other one I see him... time to clean up is, I've already mentioned, a sense of governance and leadership. I see like a tapestry of people around the table, and God says it's time to put governance in order. And I think what that's about is when you're a small church, when you're a church on the move in the desert, you need one sort of governance. When you're a church that's taking cities and then the next cities and then you're spreading out further and wider, you need a very different sort. One's a pioneers, one's our settlers, in the sense that you need to establish God's righteousness in one place and then you move on. And so maybe trustees, maybe a leadership, may God bring shape. And Dave's been working with us. We met with Rob, David. But it's not just the three elders, but or two and one to be. Actually, it's God at work among us. And also another one of babies. I see like a tapestry of new birth and like a nursery. I think God just wants, he wants to fill this place with the chaos of a midwife ward. A delivery ward. I feel like, so why is it over there, God? Okay, so now I think, okay, it's the healing one's over here. Okay, so hang with me, okay, if you're new here, okay, this is just Adrian going off on, okay, so the healing one's over here. So I've just suddenly thought, okay, God, so why there? Why not over there? Why is it here? So who's... God has got, Alison, God's got some grace for you to lead us into this area of praying for the sick, I think. And so who's over here that's got some stuff for delivery? Andy and, okay, that's where you are, David. And Andy, have you got evangelistic gift as well on you? Have you? What, sorry, I forget your name. Short-term memory loss. Isaac, have you got an evangelistic, would people around you say you, when you speak, you bring others to encounter Jesus? I wonder, so God, would you bring evangelistic grace, Isaac, David, as Andy, and what about if you at the back there as well? Okay, so... So that healing was there, the evangelist, babies. And then the last one is, I just saw like empty fields. Imagine a painting of empty grass fields. And God says, it's time to populate the fields. It's time to let the sheep out. Because fields are not meant to just be grass. Fields are for the grazing of the sheep. And I feel like God said, it's time to go. It's time to go. So it's time to for sheep to be fed and fill hillsides. And I know we have people here from Rothwell and Desborough and Brixworth and Market Harborough and Corby. God, would you give Lord, populations of sheep, not just like people that come here to eat, but people that go there to eat? And my God, would you fill? And that's over here as well. Okay. Oh. Yeah, Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit, would you just be at work in our lives, shaping the church? Jesus, if you're from another church, be asked, God, would you lead us? It's your church. We're not trying to organize people. We're trying to follow what God is doing. And so he takes the initiative, Lord, in our lives as individuals. Jesus. Holy Spirit, we've got a passage to preach and... So I'll tell you what's going on, folks. Are you okay with me externally processing? Okay, I'm so when I go to other churches, this is what I'm like. Okay? So you get to see. Because sometimes you think, what does Adrian do other places? This is what I do other places. So I stumble around and sometimes it's with small groups, sometimes it's with elders, sometimes so one church they've been unpacking some prophetic words I've had with them and shaping their leadership team around it. And I'm working with it over a couple of years and prying into it. And I went not long ago, Bury St. Edmunds, this is, and said, okay, can we have a follow-up? We want to tell you how we've responded to what you brought. So, okay, that's what God has opened up. And with that, I let know the apostolic relational mission. I let them know what I'm talking into because it's really important that I'm coupled with that. And similarly at Woodside, so we meet and we pray, and we were praying last week about, God, do you want to do something in Rushton? So we met with the prophetic, okay, let's gather and let's listen. And the echoing voice comes back in the sense of God says, yes, but wait. Okay, so that's what we do. And sometimes it's just spotting some people. So there's a guy here with a denim jacket on. You sit next to Gina. And so I just felt like a nudge. Think, okay, what does that look like? I don't really know. But it's just a bit of a, okay, I feel like God's on you and there's a call. What's your name? So I'm half, too loud music. Sorry, what? Ebrukun. I'm really sorry if I get that. I feel like there's a call of grace on your life that's to have an impact. And you're not here. External processes. I feel like God says there's a call on your life that has cost lots already, and God's talking to you about paying the cost, and it's part of his plan, all the change that you're going through, the unsettledness, because God says, I'm taking you like from David, King David, from a field to be a king. I feel that as a leadership call. I don't know, is that a relative or a friend? But maybe we could chat after. I feel like there's... You should be at the front sometimes. You need to not worry about sitting further back. There's a call on God for profile for you. Why would you come here and you think, of today? There's a grace on you. Can I pray for you? Can we pray for you? Yeah, is that okay? I don't want to put anything on you. You think, oh, man, let me go. Yeah, stand up. Yeah, and you're with him?
It's my dad.
Yeah, oh, your dad, okay. Can we pray for him, Dad? Why don't you? We want to bless you. Jesus, I want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for call. Thank you for your goodness to all of us. Lord, thank you for faithfulness. Lord, thank you for the walk that you have taken each of us, but Lord, also Edrican. Lord, I want to pray for your hand on him. God, as you develop him, as you grow him. So I think also of Joseph. You know, Joseph, who was stuffed down the well by his brothers, who was taken as a slave, and yet there was this call on him, and he kept a good heart. And I feel like God says, well done for keeping a good heart in some uncomfortable, painful times. But he's got a plan. He got Joseph to the palace, but there was a sense of Joseph keeping his heart soft. And so I just want to bless you. I want to bless you and your dad. I want to bless you as you follow Jesus. Bless you as you find grace. Bless you as you make decisions for him, for Jesus, putting him first. Jesus. And I feel like God says there's... It's good to be rooted, so rooted in a local church, wherever that is, wherever you're from. But also there's something about travel and profile, and for you, it's a wider call. It's a wider call, whether that's in business, whether you'll be an influential businessman, or in the church. I've got to make that clear. But there's like a wider reach for you. So we just pray God prosper you. It's like you're an oak tree in the waiting. You're an oak tree undergoing growth. Yeah, maybe we chat at the end, and I want to be, you know, I'm very happy to be accountable. And yeah, okay, right, we want to look at... okay, so we want to look at Acts 20. I want to tell you a fun story. Gareth spoke last week. I love it that he gets those those packages. And then I thought, okay, I've got this story. And as I've read it, we're going to touch quite briefly on it. Okay, how would you preach? What would you say from it? Because it's like a good news story. So Book of Acts is like a magazine. One of the things, it takes a long time. These are many years. Okay, so from chapter 1, chapter 20, it's well over 20 years. Okay, so imagine a year, a chapter or something. And there's this guy who pops up and who falls out a window. And here's a guy, someone else, Paul, who gives a long sermon so that everyone goes to sleep. So I'm just checking. You don't need to take the sermon literally. So there's this guy, Paul, and he's traveling. He's an apostle. He comes to this church, Troas, and he's got about seven or eight of his mates. So they are there. The church gathers. Paul tells them stories of this and what God has done, and he keeps speaking. And some poor guy near the window, just slow. Have you ever had that in a business meeting? And you're like, in the afternoon, particularly, you just feel your head You don't have it Sunday mornings, I know. But this guy, he nods so much, and he falls out the window. And that would be quite funny, except it's three stories up, and he dies. Okay, Luke, thank you very much. You put this story in. What's all that about? Okay, don't sit near windows. Okay, Sam, do what your mum says. Don't stick your head out of train windows. You know, don't sit. Okay, is it like don't have warm rooms? Always keep the heating down. Is it just Paul? Paul, you've got to keep your sermon short because otherwise people die. What? Okay, God, what's the oomph of the story? So, as a prophet, I'm asking God, what's the injection in the story? Yeah, it's great. So, and I mean, it's nice for Eutychus. And so, here's just some things that have stood out to me. Number one, the church were committed. They met on the first day for bread and wine. Friends, they met, and there was like a commitment. They invested in this. Paul, tell us some more. And even this guy who's trying, maybe he's had a heavy day at work, I don't know, but he's listening, he's committed to it. And I wonder, are you committed to the word of God like these guys were in Acts? Okay, Paul, tell us some. So Paul was laying apostolic foundations. And I felt it's really important. What foundation are you laying in your life and in the Open Door? Because there are a million and one things on the web and on the TV that you can lay in a church. Friends, are you discerning about what is true and apostolic? Or do you have, oh, I quite like that. It makes, okay, because there's lots of stuff that might feel quite good, but it's not apostolic. So read Acts, read some of the Paul's letters and think, does the theology that I listen on TV, God TV and all the rest, does it match with what Paul is talking? You see, Paul talks about suffering. He talks about having nothing and yet being content. Is that what you listen? Or is it only if you only find blessing if you give this? Paul talks about apostles who lay down their lives. Apostles who have emptied themselves. Apostles who are the bottom of it all. Are those the apostles that you listen to? Or are they the ones that lord it over and drive the big cars? Okay, apostles serve. Ah, and so I'm challenged about what apostolic teaching do we hold dear to? You see, Open Door, we're part of New Frontiers. New Frontiers Catalyst is a values-based. Less beliefs, more values. So the value of family, because we see it in the New Testament, the value of grace. So that means, okay, oh, I don't like it here. I'll just find another church in town. Actually, it's not just, well, they have nice worship too. Does it share the values that you are founded in? Because otherwise we just pick up and put down and who cares what? I'm following Jesus. No, values need to change our lives. Values need to get hold of us. So years ago, I went to Dale's Bible Week, heard a guy, Bryn Jones, and his brother Kerry, and spent some time with them. But Bryn Jones, Harvest Time was the family of church. He spoke about the restoration of the church. So I was in an evangelical church and just newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he spoke about God's plan for the church that changed my... I was wrecked. I thought, God, I've never heard this, and I could never be. When you've seen a glorious sunset, nothing else can. Nothing else takes the. When you've seen your what the bride, nothing else matters. Nothing else catches. And I was caught in my guts with God's plan for the church. That's not something I think, oh, yeah, I like that, or oh, I don't like that. That's a bit hot. No, God has caught me. And I wonder, have you been caught with apostolic teaching? Listening to Terry Virgo talk about grace. One of the messages in my life was being born again that changed me. Baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. God coming on me in his power and love changed me. Hearing Terry talk about grace. And I realized, man, what I thought was grace. A bit of a prayer before dinner. Or being nice to actually the grace of God, the kindness of God. God, you are kind to the extent of extravagance and even like over extravagance. God, that's grace. It takes us to the edge of, so I can do anything. But I don't want to because God has shown grace. Okay, is that the foundation? You have apostolic foundation. And another one is that of being sent. being sent. And you think, Adrian, you're always going on about the nations. There's something, we are all called. Jesus said, go. Some of you can not go. He said, go. The literal translation is, as you are going. Friends, we need to live wherever you live. And even if you stay in Kettering for the rest of your life, okay, I live with a sense that I am going. I am going. I'm sent. I'm placed in my street. The people I meet, where I end up isn't really the issue. The heart attitude of I'm lived by going. That's apostolic. Okay, so almost you say, well, where do you belong? I belong. I'm part of the Church of God. And whether he has me here in Kettering or Timbuktu, that's actually I'm part of God's sent people. I live with that. And as you imagine, traveling to some of these other Middle East nations, I'm just challenged by our sense of, and I'm part of the same culture, we want to tie everything down and like bolt it to the floor, but other nations live with a sense of mobility and freedom and lightness and cost. I thought, oh God, which of us is living like apostolic? Okay, which of one of us, okay, whether God calls me here or there, whether I die for my faith or whatever, I'm following Jesus. And I pray, we pray, God, would you sort out, get me a car parking space? Which some of you don't, and he never answers me, I don't know why. But oh God, would you grow us, an apostolic people? Paul, tell us, even if I fall asleep, even if this is half the night. Well done, those of you that stay till midnight on Friday night, the night of prayer. I think that was certainly one of the highest attended prayer meetings, but also one of the most passionate prayer meetings I've been in a long time. It's awesome. God is at work. Oh God, okay. Lord, that's a bit late. I'm a bit tired. God, grow something apostolic in me. And please pray for me. God, help me. But for each of us, apostolic. That's what was happening with Paul. They were listening. And then there's this guy, Eutychus. I think, what a crazy name. But here's the funny thing. The name Eutychus means fortunate or lucky. I mean, isn't that a good job? His parents named him Lucky because when he fell out a window, he got raised from the dead. I mean, had his name been something else? You know, we have a name spoken over us by our parents. Okay, you have a name. And maybe you've looked it up. Actually, you have a name spoken over you by God. And you have almost like a new name. And I love it. Some of you are African brothers. You name yourself. So beauty. Okay, or there's a guy we know, prosper. Okay, there's a prophetic declaration over your lives. And parents, as you've prayed, maybe sometimes you think, okay, what do we call our little girl, our little boy? God gives us names. God speaks over. So Gideon, he says, my name for you is Mighty Warrior. Abraham, you haven't even got a, you know, you're old, you've got no kids, but I'm going to call you Father of Nations. Isn't that amazing? Peter or Simon. Simon, you're a bit of a wet fish at times, but you're going to be a rock. I'm going to rename you Peter. Have you heard God's new name for you, and do you live up to it? So the thing that helps me, because the name that I had prophesied over me so many times, is Gideon. So even flying to Turkey, I'm thinking, God, what am I doing? This is a long way, I feel tired. And God said, okay, Adrian, go in the strength you have, mighty man of God. Okay. And as I stepped into that, literally on the plane, I just feel a confidence and a strength arise in me. That, okay, that's who I am. Okay, I'm Gideon, and I'm trusting. Have you heard? And maybe you're here, you think, how do I hear? You come to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you want to say over my life? What do you want to say? Because what he says outshines any parent, as good a job as they may have made, what Jesus says. So thankfully, God has spoken, and this guy was called fortunate or lucky. There's a guy, Boaz, in the Old Testament. His name means pain. Can you imagine on the playground? Pain, come in now. Come here, pain. Come in, pain. But pain, you can read as just one verse about Boaz. God takes hold of him. He says, God, would you bless me and enlarge my borders? God, would you increase me? He's not going to be defined by what his parents called him, pain. He's going to be defined by God. Grow me. And so Eutychus, thankfully, he was called Lucky. So he fell asleep. What did they do? They stopped the meeting. Everyone rushes down the stairs. Can you imagine? Three stories down. You know, everyone, a whole load of wailing and crying. And, oh, my life, what's happened? The poor guy, there's blood. Maybe there's an arm twist, you know, his neck's. But goodness me, can you imagine the trauma? Maybe his parents are there. I don't know, poor folks. He's dead. Okay, what'd everyone do? You know, well, where's the apostle when you need him? So Paul bursts through the crowd and throws himself on this guy. What's happening? Paul says, don't be alarmed. It's going to be okay. Yeah, but Paul, you can see the blood. See, something happened to Paul in that moment. I think God, part of being an apostolic people is that we're alive to the presence and the stories of God. Paul remembered, hey, there was a guy in the Old Testament, Elisha. Elisha was taken to a dead boy on a bed, and Elisha threw himself on the boy, and he breathed life into him, and the boy came back to the dead. Or remember, there was Elijah. Elijah did the same. Oh, hey, Jesus raised someone from the dead. He took a little girl. He went into the room and he said, go wake up. Okay, I'm going to do the same. Friends, knowing Bible stories is half of it, but let the influence of God in what he says change our lives so that in the crisis, you think, okay, I need to follow what God has done. That's the point of the stories. The point of it is so that I can live by the same God. Okay, they messed up, I messed up, but God came through, so God came through. And so I just want to urge you and ask you, do you live afresh with the word of God in you that it changes your lives? He couldn't go away and pray about it. Paul said, I just need to seek God. Okay, I need a couple of days prayer and fasting. The guy's dead, he's on the floor bleeding, and Paul just out of his spirit comes, God, you're going to come. And I pray that as a church, we are filled with apostolic boldness for God to come. For God to come in your moment in business when someone says, and so what do you believe? What do you think about that issue? What do you think of so-and-so? And we're in. Or someone is sick. And say, okay. And maybe a bit stumbly at first, but you think, okay, this is what we step into. God, would you do it in me and us? Being an apostolic people is like we can rifle through the words of God in our head in an instant and think, right, I trust God. I wonder what comes out of you. Paul had a positive confession, a declaration. It'd be okay. It'd be okay. What comes out of you in those moments? Oh my word. What comes out of you in the moment? Oh, it's all going wrong. Or it'll be okay. God's got it. Oh, Lord, why? God, would you change me so that what spills out in a moment of crisis is you? God, you. Oh, God, would you ask the Holy Spirit the same? God, would you write in me? When I eat your word, when I take hold of this, let it change my life so that what comes out is not some sweary stuff or some negative stuff, but the word of God. God, it's a decision we take. I'm quite practiced at speaking out some other things. Oh God, I want to be one like Paul says. It's okay. He's going to live. Even if everyone around thinks. Okay, Paul didn't take a vote and says, who thinks, you know, who's got confidence? Who's got faith? And the guy didn't have any faith because he's out dead. And then I love it. It says, they picked him up dead. So Luke's there. Some translator says, oh, he wasn't really dead. Well, Luke's a GP, we know. And he sees that the guy's dead. They are surrounded by death in the Middle East, this culture, in a way that we are not. Okay, they knew what a dead person was. They knew what broken limbs were. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said, he's alive. Then he went upstairs and they broke bread and carried on. thanks very much, Timothy. Luke. I mean, can you imagine the kerfuffle? Okay, imagine the kerfuffle. Somebody's died at the back of a meeting. Someone's had a heart attack. Something's happened, fell off a chair. The preacher went on. But we went and prayed. Oh, they're up now. Okay, let's just count. Oh, there must have just been a whole load of commotion. Everyone would have wanted, hey, Eutychus, what happened? What? Tell us again. And his mum was there. If she wasn't there, she is now. She's like touching him and saying, are you all right? Are you all right? And there was tears, there was laughter. There would have been holy pandemonium. He was dead, he's alive. Just imagine that. And Paul's and like, we're going to take bread and wine. Can you imagine the atmosphere of bread and wine in a moment and a celebration of life? Friends, is that how we have bread and wine? Oh, we want it very quiet. We have to be very holy. And holy means quiet. No, it doesn't. Look at holiness in heaven. There's lots of shouting and trumpets and cymbals. Holiness and silence are not the same thing. Okay? But we want it very quiet. We want it very orderly. Can you imagine how orderly bread and wine was in this overnight feast of taking communion? There was celebration. Wow, can you see? Hey, Eutychus, come up here. Come and pray for us. And just imagine it all. The buzz of it all. Paul, I mean, how did you... pray for me. I've got an earache. Pray for. Can you imagine all the stuff that was going on? They took bread and wine, and ate. And after talking until daylight, Paul, didn't you get the message the first? I mean, you need to finish until talking for daylight. Then he left. The people took the young man home, probably tired. He doesn't mention alive. They were greatly comforted. Yeah, thank you. Like the master of understatement, isn't it? And they were greatly comforted. Friends, when God is among us, it does something that brings strength and comfort. Now, there's a mystery, because were there other people that were dying around Paul's ministry? Yes. I mean, even Eutychus eventually died. Okay, God, I don't understand it. Were there other people who you passed that you didn't pray for, Paul? I don't understand that. There's a mystery. Why Eutychus and why not lots of others? Maybe there were others not recorded. We don't know. Somehow when we follow God and pursue him for the miraculous and praying for this tapestry that's over here of God's healing, we have to be able to live with the tension of, but that time nothing happened. That time someone died. We either avoid it totally and think, oh, we're not going to pray because we don't want that tension, or we think, okay, Jesus, we're going to pursue you and trust and help each other. Are you okay with that sort of tension? If we follow God, we either have to take a risk and say, Lord, you'll lead us and unfold it, or we say, I'm not moving until I have it all and A to Z, and we find a lifetime's gone by. So that's what being an apostolic people is. I think I've covered the passage. Have I read the passage? Big statement here to me. Read the passage, Adrian. So here's the thing. 2 points to challenge with them. You know, they always get, I get a bit pulled to this. And my final point, like 2 o'clock and 3 a.m. Okay, and my final point. Anyway, so here's two things. Number one, watch where you sit. Okay, what do I mean by that is, where are you sitting on the edge? Where are you dallying on the edge? I quite like it near the open window. I'm leaning out a bit, just a bit of porn. Okay, it's just, yeah, it was only a little touch and an eye flirt. I'm just, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not really. Oh, where are you on the edge? Because sometimes you can fall out. And wouldn't it be dreadful to die? Now God's grace comes. But friends, let's be those who stick together. Don't sit near the edge. Don't dally on the edge. Okay, I imagine, friends, I have, perhaps you have, people don't set out to commit adultery. It's always the one that's strongest. It's just a guy thing, I don't know. People don't set out. That's not the destination they choose, but it's one little decision. Followed by a tiny one, followed by a tiny one, until eventually calamity. Or whatever it is for you, ask, Holy Spirit, where am I near the edge? I'm not too invested in open door. I'm a bit, I'll come if I want. Oh God, where's my heart a bit fluttery, a bit flighty? And then the other thing, if you're here, and you don't know Jesus, you're like the dead guy. The Bible says we're asleep, we're dead, we are empty. You may have stuff going on, but really, you're not alive like God intended creation to be. And what you need is someone to come and lie on you and bring life. And thankfully, that's not me or anyone else. That's Jesus to come. And when he died on the cross, what he was effectively doing is coming and lying on mankind and saying, I'll take your death into me. Now you have my life. And there was an exchange from God into us and us into God. And as we find Jesus, it's like the breath and the life of God come. And we still see the same thing. But now, wow, it's like black and white to color. It's like a feast after eating ham sandwiches. Wow, God, this is extravagant and generous. And I want to invite you, if you feel, I need to know this Jesus, like worship, like we've celebrated, like Adrian's taught. All you need to do is say, God, would you breathe your life into me? Take me on a journey. So I want to pray. Can I do that? Is that right, Gareth? Fab. Jesus, I want to thank you for your life in us. God, some of us, Lord, we feel empty, we're dead, and we need your breath. So I want to pray for those first. Jesus, wherever you are, whoever you are, would you touch me with your life like these guys in this meeting this morning at Open Door are talking about? This seems like to be a living thing. Would you come and breathe on me? Right now, I feel pretty dead. I feel a bit numb. I feel right stewed up or whatever's going on. God, I need some of you, of what you seem to have. That's a great starting prayer. There's lots of other things to discover as you go, but be praying that. Or maybe you can say with me, Holy Spirit, will you show me where am I sitting on the edge near the window? Is it a relationship? Is it some stuff I'm reading, watching, listening to? Some thoughts I'm playing with? God, where am I near the window? Whatever it is, will you show me? And then lastly, I wonder if we could stand. I want to pray. Just stand, would you? God, would you breathe your apostolic grace on us? Lord, I pray for ascending of us. Lord, whether it's to the house next door, across the street, or a nation across the planet, God, would you come in us with ascending? An apostolic people, God, we're in. Lord, we're caught by your glory in the church. Lord, let your breath be on us. Amen.
Choosing to stand on the promises of God, to stand on his steadfast love and worship him, whatever storm we're in.